Welcome to day 235 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries, and today we are reading from the book of Jeremiah, chapters 49 and 50. And today and tomorrow we will be completing the book of Jeremiah. So today's reading comes from the Amplified Bible, and we will start at Jeremiah 49, beginning at verse 1. Concerning and against the Ammonites, thus says the Lord, has Israel no sons to return after their captivity and claim the territory of Gad east of the Jordan, which the Ammonites have taken over? Has Israel's Gad no heir? Why then has Milcom, the god the Ammonites call their king, dispossessed and inherited Gad? And why do his people dwell in Gad's cities? Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will cause an alarm of war to be heard against Rabbah of the Ammonites, and it, the high ground on which it stands, will become a desolate heap, and its daughter villages will be burned with fire. Then will Israel dispossess those who dispossessed him, says the Lord. Wail, O Heshbon, in Moab, just south of Ammon, for Ai in Ammon is laid waste. Cry out, you daughter villages of Rabbah. Gird yourselves with sackcloth, lament, and run to and fro inside the sheepfold enclosures. For Milcom, the god king, shall go into exile, together with his priests and his princes. Why do you boast of your valleys? Your valley flows away, O Ammon, rebellious and faithless daughter who trusted in her treasures, who said, "Who can come against me?" Behold, I will bring terror upon you, says the Lord of hosts, from all who are round about you, and you will be driven out, each man fleeing straight before him, without thought of his neighbor, and there will be no one to gather together the fugitives. And afterward, I will reverse the captivity of the children of Ammon, and restore their fortunes, says the Lord. Concerning and against Edom, thus says the Lord of hosts, is there no longer wisdom in Teman, a district in Edom? Has counsel vanished from the intelligent and prudent? Is their wisdom all poured out and used up? Flee, turn back, dwell deep in the deserts to escape the Chaldeans, O inhabitants of Dedan, neighbor of Edom. For I will bring the calamity and destruction of Esau upon him, Edom, when I inspect and punish him. If grape gatherers came to you, would they not leave some ungleaned grapes? If thieves came by night, would they not destroy only what is enough for them? But I have stripped Esau, Edom, bare. I have uncovered his hiding places, and he cannot hide himself. His offspring will be destroyed, with his brethren and his neighbors. He will be no more. Leave your fatherless children. I will do what is necessary to preserve them alive. And let those who have been made your widows trust and confide in me. For thus says the Lord, behold, they, Israel, whose rule was not to drink the cup of wrath, shall assuredly drink. And are you to remain unpunished? You shall not go unpunished, but you shall surely drink. For I have sworn by myself, says the Lord, that Bozrah in Edom, between Petra and the Dead Sea, shall become a horror, a reproach, a waste and a curse, and all its cities shall be perpetual wastes. I have heard a report from the Lord, and a messenger is sent to the nation, saying, gather together and come against her, and rise up for the battle. For behold, I will make you, Edom, small among the nations and despised among men. Your object of horror, your idol, has deceived you, and the pride of your heart has deceived you. Oh, you who dwell in the clefts of the rock, Selah or Petra, who hold and occupy the height of the hill, though you make your nest as high as the eagles, I will bring you down from there, says the Lord. And Edom shall be an astonishment and a horror. Everyone who goes by it shall be astonished and shall hiss with horror at all its plagues and disasters, as it was in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighboring cities, says the Lord. No man shall dwell there, neither shall a son of man live in it temporarily. See, there comes up one, Nebuchadnezzar, like a lion from lurking in the jungles, the pride of the Jordan, against the strong habitation of Edom and into the permanent pastures. For in a twinkling I will drive him, Edom, from there, and I will appoint over him the one whom I choose. For who is like me, and who will appoint for me the time and prosecute me for this proceeding? And what earthly national shepherd can stand before me and defy me? Therefore, hear the plan of the Lord which he has made against Edom, and his purposes which he has formed against the inhabitants of Teman. Surely they shall be dragged away by Nebuchadnezzar, even the little ones of the flock. Surely he shall make their habitation desolate because of them, and their fold shocked at their fate. At the sound of their fall, the earth shall tremble. At their crying, the sound shall be heard at the Red Sea. Behold, one will come up and fly swiftly like an eagle, and spread his wings against the Edomite city of Bozrah. And in that day, the hearts of the mighty warriors of Edom will be like the heart of a woman in her pangs in childbirth. Concerning and against Damascus in Syria. Hamath and Arpad are confounded and put to shame, for they have heard bad news. They are faint-hearted and wasting away. There is trouble and anxiety, like on a storm-tossed sea which cannot rest. Damascus has become feeble. She has turned to flee, and terror and panic have seized her. Anguish and sorrow have taken hold of her like a woman in childbirth. How remarkable that the renowned city is not deserted, the city of my joy, exclaims one from Damascus. Therefore her young men shall fall in her streets, and all her soldiers shall be destroyed in that day, says the Lord of hosts. And I will kindle a fire in the wall of Damascus, and it will consume the palaces of Ben-Hadad, title of several kings of Syria. Concerning Kedar, a tribe of nomad Arabs, and concerning the kingdoms of Hazor, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, shall smite, thus says the Lord to him, arise, go up against Kedar, and destroy the sons of the east. Their tents and their flocks shall they, the Chaldeans, take, their tent hangings and all their utensils and their camels. And men shall cry to them, terror on every side. Flee, wander far off, dwell deep in the deserts, O you inhabitants of Hazor, in the Arabian desert, says the Lord. For Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, has planned a course against you and has conceived a purpose against you. Arise, Nebuchadnezzar, and get up into a nation which is at ease, which dwells without care, says the Lord. A nation which has neither gates nor bars, which dwells apart and alone. And their camels will be booty, and their herds of cattle a spoil. And I will scatter to all the four winds those who, as evidence of their idolatry, clip off the corners of their hair. And I will bring their calamity from every side, says the Lord. And Hazor shall become a dwelling place of jackals, a desolation forever. No man shall dwell there, neither shall a son of man live in it temporarily. the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet concerning and against Elam in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, Behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the chief weapon and part of their strength. And upon Elam will I bring the four winds from the four corners of heaven, and I will scatter them towards all those winds, and there will be no nation to which the outcasts of Elam will not come. And I will cause Elam to be dismayed and terrified before their enemies, and before those who seek and demand their lives. And I will bring evil and disaster upon them, even my fierce anger, says the Lord. And I will send the sword after them until I have consumed them. And I will set my throne of judgment in Elam, whose capital city was Shushan, from which God wrought wonders through Nehemiah, Esther, and Daniel. And I will destroy from their king and princes, says the Lord. But it shall be in the latter days, the end of days, that I will reverse the captivity and restore the fortunes of Elam, says the Lord. Chapter 50. The word that the Lord spoke concerning and against Babylon, and concerning and against the land of the Chaldeans, through Jeremiah the prophet. Declare it among the nations, and publish it, and set up a signal to spread the news. Publish and conceal it not. Say, Babylon has been taken. Bel, the patron god, is put to shame. Marodach, Bel, is dismayed and broken down. Babylon's images are put to shame. Her senseless idols are thrown down. For out of the north there has come up a nation, Media, against her, which will make her land desolate, and none will dwell there. They will have fled, they will be gone, from man even to beast. In those days, and at that time, says the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together. They shall come up, weeping as they come, and seek the Lord their God, inquiring for and of him, and requiring him, both by right of necessity and of the promises of God's word. They shall ask the way to Zion, with their faces in that direction, saying, Come, let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray to favorite places of idolatry on mountains that seduce. They have gone from one sin to another, mountain to hill. They have forgotten their own resting place. All who found them devoured them. And their adversaries said, We are not guilty, because they have sinned against the Lord and are no longer holy to him. Their true habitation of righteousness and justice, even the Lord, the hope of their fathers. Flee out of the midst of Babylon and go forth out of the land of the Chaldeans, and be as the he-goats who serve as examples and as leaders in the flight before the flocks. For behold, I will raise and cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of great nations from the north country. They will equip and set themselves against her. From there she will be taken. Their arrows will be like both an expert, mighty warrior, and like his arrows. None of them will return in vain. And Chaldea shall become plunder. All who plunder her shall be satisfied, says the Lord. Though you are glad, though you rejoice, O you who plunder my heritage, though you are wanton and skip about like a heifer at grass, and neigh like strong stallions, your mother Babylon shall be put to great shame. She who bore you shall blush and be disgraced. Behold, she shall be at the rear of the nations, least of the nations, a wilderness, waste, and desert. Because of the wrath of the Lord, she shall not be inhabited, but shall be wholly desolate. Everyone who goes by Babylon shall be appalled, and hiss and mock at all her wounds and plagues. Set yourselves in array against Babylon round about, all you archers. Shoot at her. Spare not the arrows, for she has sinned against the Lord. Raise the battle cry against her round about. She gives her hand in agreement and surrenders. Her supports and battlements fall. Her walls are thrown down. For this is the revenge of the Lord. Take vengeance on her, as she has done to others. Do to her. Exterminate the sower from Babylon and the one who handles the sickle in the time of harvest. For fear of the sword of the oppressor, everyone shall return to his people, and everyone shall flee to his own land. Israel is a hunted and scattered sheep, driven hither and thither and preyed upon by savage beasts. The lions have chased him. First the king of Assyria devoured him, and now at last Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, has broken and gnawed his bones. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will visit and punish the king of Babylon and his land, just as I visited and punished the king of Assyria. And I will bring Israel home again to his fold and pasturage, and he will feed on Carmel and Bashan in the most fertile districts, both west and east. And his soul will be satisfied upon the hills of Ephraim and Gilead. In those days and at that time, says the Lord, the iniquity of Israel will be sought, but there will be none. And the sins of Judah will be sought, but none will be found. For I will pardon those whom I cause to remain as a remnant, the preserved ones who come forth after a long tribulation. Go up against Babylon, the land of Merathaim, two rebellions, double or intense defiance, even against it and against the inhabitants of Pekod, visitation and punishment. Slay and utterly destroy them, says the Lord, and do according to all that I have commanded you. The cry and noise of battle is in the land, and the noise of great destruction. How the hammer of the whole earth is crushed and broken. How Babylon has become a horror of desolation among the nations. I set a trap for you, and you also were taken, O Babylon, and you did not know it. You were found and also caught, because you have struggled and contended against the Lord. The Lord has opened his armory and has brought forth the nations who unknowingly are the weapons of his indignation and wrath. For the Lord of hosts has work to do in the land of the Chaldeans. Come against her from every quarter and from the utmost border. Open her granaries and storehouses. Pile up their contents like heaps of rubbish. Burn and destroy her utterly. Let nothing be left of her. Slay all her bullocks, her choice youths, the strength of her army. Let them go down to the slaughter. Woe to the Chaldeans, for their day has come, the time of their visitation, their inspection and punishment. Listen, the voice of those Jews who flee and escape out of the land of Babylon, proclaiming in Zion the vengeance of the Lord our God, the vengeance of the Lord upon the Chaldeans, for the plundering and destruction of his temple. Call together many archers against Babylon, all those who bend the bow, and camp against her round about, let none from there escape. Recompense her according to her deeds, just as she has done, do to her. For against the Lord, against the Holy One of Israel, has she been proudly defiant and presumptuous. Therefore shall her young men fall in her streets and squares, and all her soldiers shall be destroyed on that day, says the Lord. Behold, I am against you, O Babylon. You who are pride and presumption personified, says the Lord, the Lord of hosts, for your day has come, the time when I will visit and punish you. And pride, the arrogant one, shall stumble, totter, and fall, and none shall raise him up. And I will kindle a fire in his cities, and it shall devour all who are round about him. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the children of Israel and the children of Judah are oppressed together. All who took them captive have held them fast. They refuse to let them go. Their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. He will surely and thoroughly plead their case and defend their cause, that he might give rest to the land of Israel and to the Babylonian enslaved nations of the earth, but unrest to the inhabitants of Babylon. A sword upon the Chaldeans, says the Lord, upon the inhabitants of Babylon and upon her princes, rulers in civic matters, and upon her wise men, the astrologers and rulers in religious affairs. A sword upon the babbling liars, the diviners, that they may become fools. A sword upon her mighty warriors, that they may be dismayed and destroyed. A sword upon their horses and upon their chariots, and upon all the mixed foreign troops that are in the midst of her, that they may become as weak and defenseless as women. A sword upon her treasures, that they may be plundered. A sword and a drought upon her waters, that they may be dried up. For it is a land of images, and they are mad over idols, objects of terror in which they foolishly trust. Therefore, wild beasts of the desert shall dwell in Babylon with the jackals, and ostriches shall dwell there. And it shall never again be inhabited with people, even from generation to generation. As when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighboring cities, says the Lord, so no man shall dwell there, neither shall any son of man live there temporarily. Behold, a people is coming from the north, and a great nation and many kings are stirring from the uttermost parts of the earth, that they may lay hold of bow, lance, and spear. They are cruel and have no mercy or compassion. They sound like the roaring of the sea. They ride upon horses, every man equipped like a man ready for the battle against you, O daughter of Babylon. The king of Babylon has heard the news about them, and his hands fall feeble and helpless. Anguish has seized him, and pangs like that of a woman in childbirth. See, there comes up one like a lion from the jungles, the pride of the Jordan, against the strong habitation of Babylon, and into the permanent pasturage and sheepfold. For in a twinkling I will drive him, Babylon, from there, and I will appoint over him the one whom I choose. For who is like me? And who will challenge me and prosecute me for this proceeding? And what earthly national shepherd can stand before me and defy me? Therefore, hear the plan of the Lord, which he has made against Babylon, and his purposes, which he has formed against the land of the Chaldeans. Surely they shall be dragged away, even the little ones of the flock. Surely he shall make their habitation desolate because of them, and their fold amazed and appalled at their fate. At the cry, Babylon has been taken, the earth shall tremble, and the cry shall be heard among the nations. This is the end of today's scripture reading. Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional. I want to just give you some historical insight about the passages that we read today, because it helps us to know how amazingly accurate the prophetic words that were spoken by the prophets were and how they came to pass exactly as the Lord spoke them through that prophet. We read today Jeremiah 49 and 50. I will just comment briefly on chapter 49 because essentially that entire chapter was a prophecy or a prediction that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, would conquer certain nations, that he would conquer Ammon and Edom and Syria, Hazor and Elam. And history shows us that Nebuchadnezzar did exactly that. But then we get into chapter 50 and we find that this chapter and the prophecies contained in this chapter are directed at Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, saying that the fall of Babylon was imminent, that perpetual desolation of Babylon was predicted by God himself through the prophet, and the specifics that are listed in this chapter about what would happen to Babylon are quite amazing, and I want to give you some insight about those. To start with, I will point out verse 9 of chapter 50. And the historical references that came to pass. It says in verse 9, "For behold, I will raise and cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of great nations from the north country. They will equip and set themselves against her. From there she will be taken. Their arrows will be like both an expert mighty warrior and like his arrows. None of them will return in vain. And Chaldea shall become plunder." That is the next verse. Well, let me give you the history that goes with this prophecy. What exactly did occur was that God raised up a king named Cyrus. He was a Persian, but he assembled a huge and vast army that was essentially an assembly of great nations, just like this specific word says, from the north country. King Cyrus's army was composed of Medes, and these people from Media were from the north, and Persians and Armenians and some others. So this part of the prophecy that God would raise up and cause to come against Babylon, this assembly of great nations from the north country, came to pass in this amazing vast army that Cyrus put together that was composed of these Medes, which were from Media in the north of Babylon. And then they all came against Babylon and they conquered Babylon. And we will hear about Cyrus the Persian and his kingdom of Persians and Medes when we get to the book of Daniel, because Daniel had been taken captive into Babylon and he served under Cyrus the Persian and Darius the Mede, another king. So we will hear about these people who conquered Babylon when we get to the book of Daniel. But I point this out to say that the amazing accuracy of these prophetic words are borne out in history. And here is the first one that I want to point out. But let me give you another interesting and specific thing that came to pass that is referenced here in Jeremiah's prophecy. As we get to the later verses in chapter 50, we see God saying all these interesting things that he's going to do. He says, "A sword upon the Chaldeans upon the inhabitants of Babylon. So he's talking about war against them. A sword upon the babbling liars, the diviners. These are the magicians and soothsayers that served in the Babylonian court. A sword upon her mighty warriors, that they may be dismayed and destroyed. And they were. A sword upon their horses and upon their chariots. And so that came to pass. A sword upon her treasures. And we know that the Babylonian treasury was looted in this attack. But then the next verse is fascinating, because it says this in verse 38 of Jeremiah 50. A sword and a drought upon her waters, that they may be dried up. Now, what does that refer to? Well, I think that you'll find this quite interesting. Babylonia was very famous for its production of corn, and they were able to produce these amazingly vast harvests of corn because they actually developed an amazing system of irrigation by taking water from the Euphrates River and sending it through these irrigation canals, which made their produce and actually the production of corn to be immense in its time. One historian actually states that the Babylonian production of corn was often 100 to 200 fold what they planted. So they were very famous for their corn production and their highly developed system of irrigation using the Euphrates River. But listen to this interesting historical detail that proves out this word in verse 38, where it says, a sword and a drought upon her waters, that they may be dried up. Cyrus, the king of Persia, king of the Medes and the Persians, when he came to attack Babylon, he did something very clever, which allowed him to enter the capital city. He diverted the water from the Euphrates into a channel so that his army could march up the dry riverbed and into the capital city of Babylon and successfully take over that city and conquer the palace and everything that had to do with Babylon. So this little historical detail proving this word from Jeremiah the prophet, how God was going to literally cause the waters to be dried up so that the sword could come against them that way, was quite an amazing point. But it shows us that God's word is very specific. It is like a sword that is so sharpened and so perfect and exacting in its delivery, and how God's word comes to pass exactly. And I love that about the word of God. You can depend on it. Even though sometimes it seems like, how could that ever come to pass? And at the time that Jeremiah the prophet spoke these words against the nation of Babylon, you have to understand that Babylon was the dominant force in the world. It was the most powerful nation, kingdom, operating in the earth at its time. And it had dominated all the nations around it. In fact, it was called the hammer of the whole earth, because literally Babylon would go around hammering the other nations around it, crushing them quite cruelly, taking everything that they possessed and destroying whatever nation, kingdom, city that they invaded. But in Jeremiah 50, verse 23, it says, and this is the prophet speaking, looking into the future of what would happen to Babylon, how the hammer of the whole earth has been cut off and broken, how Babylon has become an object of horror among the nations. So when he said those words, he was seeing into the future. He was foretelling what God was going to do to Babylon. But at the moment he was saying it, Babylon was still the hammer of the whole earth, going around crushing, destroying other nations. And yet the prophet saw in the spirit into the future that the hammer of the whole earth was cut off and broken, that God himself had ordered another nation and another king to be the one that would go in and hammer down the hammer. He was going to let the hammer down on Babylon. And that's exactly what happened. So this is a fascinating detail as well. Cyrus the Persian, head of this assembly of great nations, as Jeremiah called it, was used by the Lord to be God's instrument to bring this prophetic word to pass that Babylon was going to surely fall and actually be utterly destroyed. But in the midst of all this prophecy about Babylon's destruction, we see a beautiful prophetic promise to the people of Israel. And these verses are found in Jeremiah 50, verses 4, 5, and 6. It says, "In those days and at that time, says the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together. They shall come up weeping as they come and seek the Lord their God, inquiring for and of him and requiring him by both right of necessity and of the promises of God's word. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces in that direction, saying, come, let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten." Now, this is an amazing prophetic promise to the people of Israel and the people of Judah, who by that time when Jeremiah was speaking this prophecy had both been taken into captivity. The northern kingdom of Israel taken by the Assyrians, the southern kingdom of Judah taken by the Babylonians. And so they were a captive people. They were in bondage. They were enslaved to these foreign nations. And yet, here's this promise in the midst of this prophecy about destruction of Babylon, that God would see the day, that the people of Israel would see the day, that they would come weeping, seeking the Lord, and asking the way back to Zion. Isn't that an amazing prophecy? Because at this point, they had been taken into captivity because they had stopped seeking the Lord. They had stopped desiring God. They had stopped needing God in their own minds. And they had gone off worshiping false idols, worshiping statues that they made out of wood and covered with silver and gold, just like the idol-worshiping countries that were around them. And so that was why they received this very harsh and sad judgment of being taken into captivity by these foreign nations. But God has this promise nestled in the middle of all these prophecies against these other nations, saying that the day was coming when the children of Israel, the children of Judah, would turn their hearts back to God. They would start seeking the Lord. They would come weeping, which is a reference to repentance, and they would start asking the way back to Zion, back to Jerusalem, back to the place of relationship with the one true God, and that they would join themselves back to the Lord in a covenant that would not be forgotten. What a beautiful promise. And to me, this speaks of God's amazing mercy, because we're talking about a people who had totally turned away from God, had become deep in sin, and seemed as far from God as you could possibly get, worshiping idols, being sexually immoral, because that was part of the practice of the supposed worship of these false gods, sacrificing their children in the fire, every wicked thing that was being done by the idol-worshiping nations around them. Israel and Judah had fallen into those same practices, and yet God says the day would come, he'd turn their hearts back to the Lord, they would repent and come back into relationship and covenant with the Lord. And for us today, this is a great promise that God is willing and able and desiring to see any person, even the person who has fallen to the lowest place of sin, the deepest, darkest sin you can imagine on the planet. And yet God's willing to receive that person back. He longs to see them turn, come weeping, seeking the Lord. And God wants to put himself in covenant relationship with that person. So what a beautiful word to us today, that any person can come back to the Lord as long as they're alive and still breathing, able to make that choice. God is willing to receive them. And so it was for the people of Israel, so it is for us today. If you have loved ones that are so far from God, don't give up hope on them. Don't give up that they'll never come to the Lord. They may seem as far from God as you could possibly imagine, just like the people of Israel and Judah appeared at the time of Jeremiah the prophet. Yet God never gave up on them. And God's not giving up on your loved ones, on your family, on your friends. Keep praying for them and believing God, because the Lord himself is ready and desiring and willing to receive them back and bring them back into relationship with himself. God's such a God of mercy and love. God bless you and give you a victorious week. Just as a quick reminder, don't forget to visit our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com. We have lots of resources, teaching materials, downloadable MP3 messages you can listen to. And also, please visit our Facebook page, My Everyday Bible, and leave a comment and share that page with other people and help us get the word out that people can pursue hearing the word of God on a daily basis by using our Bible app, My Everyday Bible. God bless you. We'll be with you again tomorrow. If you have enjoyed My Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. Once again, that's P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Have a victorious week.